Look at you looking dashing in your stripy jumper this morning. You two, you look at, you've both come in and gone, hang on, there's cameras, this is radio, this is not on. Welcome and congratulations on your number one podcast,
Thank you, David Tennant.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that in depth in a moment. I'm just talking to Sue about her incredible travels. She's written about them in East of Croydon, which is such a great book. Do you know what? It's such a great read because you've gone to places for these TV shows that a lot of us may never get to see, you know, and I do the humour of the mishaps and adventures. And it, I thought, you know, you'd be staying in nice Premier Inn type sort of places, but of course you're not. You're in the middle of the jungle. And the sort of the sleeping conditions of yourself and the crew, the bugs, the, you know, the showers, the toilet facilities.
A lot of cats
as well.
It's
pretty tough.
A lot of nocturnal cat action.
Right.
Oftentimes you'd wake up with either a cat or a very big rat just on the chest. Just snoring on the chest, sort of pinned down by the weight of it. And just, I crossed many personal thresholds.
Did you? Yes.
Yeah. I know. Lots of vomiting, that happened a lot.
Oh, yes. Well, a great story about you all getting to somewhere and then you'd all try the local delicacy, you know, and have a few beers and lovely. And then one by one through the paper-thin walls, you'd hear each crew member go down.
I thought, oh, that's a shame. Matt started next to me. And then my mate Ollie started and it was like a domino effect. Don't have the milkshake, was the moral. Dairy's not massive in Laos.
Right.
Okay. So, and we all had the milkshake and somebody just sort of piped up and said, does anyone think there's a slight fishy back note to that? And it was like, there is. I vomited all the time and I climbed up to the Himalayas and we lost half the crew to altitude sickness. And I did the last bit on my hands and knees. And I'd always had this idea that when I arrived at the top of the mountain, I would deliver this extraordinary piece to camera that would redefine television. Actually, what happened is I coughed and then sicked over my boobs. And it felt so very, very sad.
These stories are absolutely... But you did make it to the top, though. That is incredible. And having gone through this, I mean, and some of the stuff you do is incredibly emotional. You go to the killing fields and all sorts, you know, you share some amazing things. And there's obviously changing environments that you're visiting whose people's lives have really been changed by climate change, by capitalism, all sorts. It's incredibly moving. How do you cope when you get home, when you come back and, you know, you've got Western life around you and it all carries on?
I'm pretty porous as a person, possibly too porous, so it does take a while. I saw some things that still sometimes will make me wake up in the middle of the night, and met some people that I'm still in touch with that I, you know, that I want to be in my life for the rest of my life. But you come home and you turn a light switch on and you turn the shower on and you can't believe the ease of it all. And you cry a bit because you think, God, I've seen people who live under the underpass and they were born in gutters and I can't believe the luxury of my life. And then 2 weeks later, you've forgotten about your own privilege. And that's the sad thing is it's so easy for us that we're just, you know, it's... Yeah. So all I would say is, you know, every time, you know, your food delivery arrives or every time you, you know, manage to get hot water, just be really properly thankful.
Yes.
Just occasionally anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, because we're all right.
We're very spoilt, aren't we?
Yeah, in the main we are. And I know some people really, I mean, I don't want to underestimate the tough times that some people have here. But God, yeah. But it's the people with absolutely nothing that always open their arms the widest.
Yeah.
It was extraordinary. Very humbling.
It's such a great read. David, you've got to take a copy with you at home today. It's one of, and very, very funny. You will laugh out loud. And interestingly, as you're both here, obviously, David, Doctor Who, 10th Doctor, seasoned actor, you've done Hamlet, Richard II, now a podcasting powerhouse. But before we talk about that,
Sue...
I want to know what you're seasoned with. I'm
going to
find out.
I know. You're going to have a little lick. You probably won't be the first to attempt that. But there is this funny little link that Neil Gaiman, he was said that he wanted you as the new Doctor Who, Sue Perkins. Was there any truth in that? Did conversations ever happen?
No. I'm on a list. and that
list
will be, oh, who's going to be the next? And it could be Top Gear presenter or Doctor Who.
Oh, yes, the
Prime
Top
Minister.
Gear thing.
Or, you know, Britain's, you know, I don't know what it is, you know. It's kind of...
James Bond.
I never get the job. I'm never considered for the job. It's just there's a list around which I think kind of circulates around certain newspapers. But no. I mean, the fact that Neil Gaiman recommended me for anything is enough for me to retire on because the man is exceptional.
Yes, he
but,
is.
Um, No, I'm not an actor. And do you know what? Jodie Whittaker's extraordinary.
She's very good. She is so very, very
good. She's just wonderful.
We will have to talk about Doctor Who. We must. We shall.
Sure.
But David Tennant, first of all, congratulations. Number one podcast already. You've only done one. This is amazing.
I know. I'm bewildered by the whole thing. It was just this little fun little side project.
Whose idea was this?
It was sort of my idea. Yeah. Because I was in America for a bit and I was listening to a lot of podcasts and I love a podcast. I love that sort of... They're all free.
Which particular ones do you like that you listen to?
Well, I like quite a lot of political ones. I'm a bit of a junkie for all that. But then I was also listening to Alec Baldwin, who does a really good one where he just sits down with people that he likes and he talks to them. And I was just listening to a few of him and he's really good at it. He's really cool. Yeah. I think I just wanted to be Alec Baldwin. That's really what it was. I thought, oh, he's cool. I wonder if I could aspire to that level of coolness. And I was talking to my agent back home and saying, podcasts are cool, aren't they? There should be a British version of the Alec Baldwin podcast. And because my agent Sarah is a bit of a massive podcast fan, suddenly I was in a meeting with all these people who could make it happen. And I'm thinking, this was sort of just I'm not sure that I'm serious about this. And then suddenly I'm in a studio and it's all happening. So it kind of happened to me.
Yeah.
But I'm rather enjoying it, yeah.
Fantastic. Have you the first one I've heard, Olivia Colman.
Olivia's the first one, yeah.
She's called Collie. She calls him DT.
Yeah.
You obviously know each other very, very well. And it's a lovely thing to listen to because it is effectively two friends having a good old chat about the business.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. I mean, there's no concept to it at all. It's just whatever it ends up being. So, yeah, because I know Collie very well, I suppose that has a certain flavour to it. And then there's other people coming up that I don't know quite so well. So that's a bit more of a kind of, you know, sniffing each other out.
How does it feel? Oh, they're sniffing the seasoning.
That's something you want to put a camera on, Joey. Come on.
Get the camera on that, sir.
David Tennant sniffs you out.
That would have been a better title.
It could have been a better title there. So how is it sort of to be in the reverse situation? You're sort of starting the chat. You're asking the questions. You're sort of, you know, leading it a little bit like that. How's that?
It's interesting because I've been on the other side. So you kind of know what you don't want to be asked. So I'm trying to ask the questions that I would be interested in being asked and trying not interested in catching anyone out or anything like that. So it can feel relaxed and hopefully you can get to somewhere in an interview that you wouldn't necessarily get in a more traditional interviewer, an interviewer who knew what they were doing. You know, so it's got a bit more of a kind of a different flavour to it, I suppose.
Okay, fantastic. We will talk more with David Tennant and Sue Perkins after a bit of Bublé. A bit of Bublé. Just Bublé, take a
look. Bring on the Mickey Bubbles.
Okay. Love it. How can you not love Bublé?